by Shirasad, read by CookieMom6067. Spock turned away from Christine feeling, well, he had problems defining which emotions were swirling through him, but just the fact that he was feeling them was problematic in and of itself. When he had been with T'Pring, he had always tried to be the Vulcan mate she deserved, and since beginning his affair with Christine, he had attempted to be more open and emotional, to fulfill her human needs, and figure out if maybe this was what he had been lacking in his Vulcan betrothal. He certainly had not expected to have to deal with the onslaught of negative emotions caused by Christine's decision under the influence of the improbability field. He felt the urgent need for meditation and possibly some time playing the Ka'athira, as recommended by Dr. Mbenga, to regain the control he had so deliberately relinquished these past few weeks. Luckily, his shift was almost over, so Spock decided to take his evening meal in his quarters. However, when the lift doors opened, they revealed Number One and Lieutenant James Kirk. He entered with a nod, to which both responded in kind and instructed the computer to take him to his deck. "Are you off shift, Lieutenant?" the first officer asked, which struck Spock as rather obvious, until he realized that she was about to ask him for a favor. Tamping down on a spike of annoyance, he replied, "I am indeed. Do you require my assistance, Commander?" "You read my mind, Spock," Number One shot him a grateful smile. "I'm sure Lieutenant Kirk would find the way, but could you show him to the guest officer's cabin? I'm afraid I haven't gotten around to showing him, what with all the singing that's been going on, and now I need to catch up on some paperwork." "I offered my help," James Kirk inserted, with the easy confidence Spock had already noticed came so naturally to him, quite unlike his older brother. "But Commander Chin Riley said I'd get more than enough practice when I get my actual commission." "If it comforts you, I'll show you how I draw up the duty rosters tomorrow, after the morning briefing with the captain. Let's see how helpful you feel after trying to balance 400 people's skills and needs." Spock couldn't help but be impressed by the warmth of the commander's response. He had gained a positive opinion of the lieutenant himself during their previous conversation with Ensign Uhura, but Number One's good judgment held a lot of weight, so he didn't hesitate to agree. "Considering that our quarters are on the same deck, I have no issue showing the lieutenant the way, Commander." "I appreciate it." Right then, the lift stopped at Spock's destination, and the first officer smiled as the two men exited. "I'll see both of you on the bridge for Alpha Shift tomorrow, lieutenants." Almost unconsciously, they both stood half at attention until the lift doors had slid shut again. Relaxing, James Kirk grinned at Spock. "She's even more impressive than I expected, and I expected a lot from Sam's stories and the declassified mission reports I read in preparation for my stint here." "She is the best first officer in the fleet," Spock said simply, a statement of fact. "You do well to emulate and learn from her." "I'll do my best. Sam says I was always a bit of a swat, in addition to being quite ambitious, so I like to do my homework." Spock inclined his head. "Those characteristics are conducive to your career goals. I am sure Commander Chin Riley will appreciate your preparedness." "Thank you, Mr. Spock. I certainly hope so, even if Sam's opinion of me isn't necessarily meant to be complimentary." Lieutenant Kirk laughed ruefully, and Spock remembered the tension he'd witnessed between the brothers several times, most notably right before he had officially been introduced to the younger Kirk. It was probably only natural to be reminded of Michael and their time of estrangement, and he only just remembered that not only was her very existence now classified, but that he barely knew Lieutenant Kirk. He really needed to work to reestablish his mental shields in order to prevent such almost slips. Instead, he said somewhat stiffly, "It seems that Starfleet does not share your brother's opinion, considering the fact that you will be the youngest first officer in the fleet. Neither do I." Thank you, Mr. Spock." Spock caught the look of surprise James Kirk gave him out of the corner of his eyes, followed by a warm smile that seemed to imply that he had risen in Lieutenant Kirk's estimation. His suspicion was proven correct almost immediately. when the lieutenant caught him by the elbow, bringing them to a halt in the middle of the corridor. "Say, have you eaten? I wouldn't mind some company. Maybe a round of chess?" Their shared interest in 3D chess had come up during their first meeting in the mess hall, albeit only in passing, because neither of them had wanted to exclude Ensign Uhura. That had also been the first time they had touched, a handshake that Spock would normally have considered too long, too much. But it had happened not long after he and Christine had begun their liaison, when Spock had been trying to follow more human customs. Also, the brush of James Kirk's mind against his had been surprisingly pleasant, exuding warmth, openness, intelligence, and strength in a way that was very human without feeling intrusive. All this went through Spock's head in the 0.34 seconds required to analyze why his instinctual response had been to acquiesce, when before, all he had wanted was to be alone. Naturally, Lieutenant Kirk could not know any of this, but the joy in his eyes when Spock accepted was gratifying. "I was planning on taking my meal in my room. Considering that conditions there are set to Vulcan standards, however, maybe it would be more convenient if I were to retrieve my chess set and then join you in the guest cabin. Replicators are present in all officers' quarters." "Admirable logic, Mr. Spock." James Kirk grinned, obviously amused. "However, unless you'd prefer that I didn't intrude into your living space, I'm sure I can survive Vulcan standards for a couple of hours. Because truthfully, no matter how impressive the ship, guest quarters always strike me as somewhat depressing. Not logical, I'm aware, but as you know, humans are sadly emotional creatures." Spock realized he was being gently teased, and that he did not mind. Not when the lieutenant was looking at him with his hazel eyes twinkling, as if he was part of the joke, not its target. Of course he did not respond in any way discernible by Lieutenant Kirk, but he did agree to his suggestion, which garnered him another warm smile. "Great. Looking forward to it. It's been years since I had a good game of chess in person, and I've seen you play against your lovely Nurse Chapel." Observing his unexpected guest as he led him into his quarters, Spock was beginning to understand that James Kirk was a people person, genuinely charming and charismatic. It doubtlessly contributed to his exceptional career as a Starfleet officer. Like Pike, he was observant and emotionally intelligent, correctly divining the nature of Spock and Christine's relationship, and Spock considered for a moment telling him about today's termination of their liaison. Once again, he caught himself on the verge of confiding something intensely private in this young man, and he used the time the replicator needed to prepare their meals to quickly strengthen his mental discipline. Maybe he should have pursued his original plan of solitary meditation. However, as expected, Lieutenant Kirk's company continued to prove mentally stimulating as they conversed over dinner. Spock had always considered himself bad at what humans called small talk, yet James Kirk managed to steer the conversation into directions that suited Spock's nature. He also insisted that Spock call him by the familiar form of his first name, to which Spock reluctantly agreed with the stipulation that they continue to use their ranks while on duty. He also silently determined to avoid using it as much as possible, if only to prevent any further slips. "Why does everyone on this ship expect me to behave unprofessionally?" Jim complained with a laugh that indicated he already knew the answer. Still, Spock indulged him. "I am afraid your brother has been what humans like to call telling tales, and many of them concern less than orthodox behavior on your part. I must admit, I have always assumed at least some of them to be exaggerated, if not entirely untrue." "Well, I'm happy to clear the waters Sam has so helpfully muddied. One of his most colorful stories involves you beating the Kobayashi Maru. Why would he make such a claim?" Jim groaned. "Of course he hit on one that is absolutely true. Unorthodox was the least the Admiralty called me after that incident." "Fascinating." Spock raised an eyebrow. "The Kobayashi Maru was programmed specifically as an exercise in no-win scenarios. How did you beat it?" It appeared that along with his other abilities, James Kirk was also a natural storyteller, and he easily drew Spock back into the conversation. Starfleet was their common ground, of course, and they talked about their backgrounds, but also their daily lives, both on and off duty, all through a dinner that took 2.8 times as long as Spock's regular meals. Afterwards, without pausing their exchange, they set up the chess set. However, the moment Jim made his first move, Spock lifted an inquiring eyebrow. "Your response to my opening is highly illogical. What do you hope to gain from it?" "Well, we've already established that humans are sadly illogical," Jim chuckled, eyes sparkling. "So you'll just have to allow me my little foibles and see where this game takes us." After this, they fell mostly silent because, much to Spock's surprise, James Kirk turned out to be an exceptional, if irrational, chess player, forcing Spock to concentrate more than he was used to, with a rather unexpected loss becoming increasingly likely as the game went on. Spock began to realize why the younger man had claimed not to have had a good opponent for a long time. "Checkmate in three, I'm afraid," Jim finally said, and much as he tried to find a way out, Spock had to admit defeat. "I do not understand how this happened," he mused, tilting his head to study the board in front of him, as if it had offended him personally. "Your strategy was erratic at best, Lieutenant. It should not have succeeded." "You must allow a simple human some secrets, Mr. Spock." Grinning, Jim was leaning back against his chair, completely at ease in himself and his surroundings, as seemed to be his wont, no matter the situation. Incongruously, it struck Spock that he simply fit here in Spock's living space on the other side of the chessboard. He fit with Spock in a way few people did, and never before in such a short span of time. In order to distract himself from this unsettling realization, Spock busied himself with collecting the chess pieces. Jim leaned forward, offering him the white pieces he'd collected with an apologetic half-smile. "If it makes you feel better, I haven't had to work so hard to win in a long time. I suspect that as soon as you've gotten used to my style, you'll present even more of a challenge." Handing over Spock's prostrated queen, their fingers brushed and warmth, satisfaction, contentment. All emotions to be expected considering the situation, but underneath, short as the contact had been, an entirely different emotion simmered, one that left Spock slightly breathless. James Kirk was aroused. Spock did not know what to do with this fact. He had most definitely not expected anything of the kind. He needed a moment to adjust his perception of the evening, a moment that Jim obviously picked up on, because he added, "Not that there has to be a repeat, but I had a great time. As you might have picked up on, I do like a challenge." A wide, warm smile on his face, he still appeared entirely relaxed, making it hard for Spock to reconcile what he saw with what he had felt. Naturally, he had been the recipient of other people's amorous attentions before, even disregarding his bond with T'Pring and his short time with Christine, when he had sometimes lowered his shields on purpose. He had at times experienced the mental sensations associated with other people's erotic desire. He knew Vulcans in general, and himself in particular, were considered aesthetically pleasing by a number of species, humans included, but he had never quite understood how sexual interest developed without the addition of a bond, be it telepathic or emotional. Most humans were different, James Kirk probably included, taking into account the reputation as a ladies' man he had, at least according to his brother. Normally, this would be Spock's cue to withdraw, to make his disinterest clear without acknowledging the other party's intentions. But this time, he found himself strangely reluctant. Maybe it was an after-effect of the emotional honesty forced on him by the improbability field on this very day, or the prolonged lapse in his controls he had consciously chosen to indulge in over the past weeks. Whatever the reason, he did not want to cut short his acquaintance with Lieutenant James Kirk. On the contrary. "As do I," was the decision he arrived at, his entire thought process having only taken as much time as putting away the chess set. "I would like to test your hypothesis on the likelihood that I could find predictability in your unpredictability, thus improving my chances to get the upper hand." "That is not quite what I meant, but I'll take it." With that, Jim got up, and Spock realized that he was about to leave without any visible indication of his sexual desires. This was, of course, his prerogative, and the professional course of action, Spock admitted with a ruthlessly suppressed pang of regret, even without taking into account that he considered Spock unavailable. Now I've kept you way past what I'm sure is your usual very sensible bedtime, and I need to make a good impression on Commander Chin Riley tomorrow morning, or rather, this morning. Jim rubbed his eyes, as if suddenly realizing that he was tired. Nodding, Spock also rose and led Jim to the door. Thank you for an invigorating game, Lieutenant. I'm looking forward to next time when, in human terms, I intend to get my own back. Well, you're welcome to try, Jim chuckled and ducked into the corridor. Following a sudden impulse, Spock angled his body so their hands brushed again. It was a gross violation of privacy and personal space, one he would not normally indulge in, but Jim's smile only seemed to grow, the corners of his eyes crinkling as he caught Spock's gaze for a moment. Good night, Mr. Spock. With that, he was gone, following the corridor as if he knew the layout of the Enterprise by heart, leaving Spock with a warmth in his chest that mirrored the emotion he had felt during the brief contact. Another breach of acceptable behavior, and one that Spock should immediately attempt to remedy with rigorous meditation, no matter the late hour. However, when he finally sat down to collect his thoughts, he was startled by the realization that by all appearances, James Kirk had not required a guide to the guest cabin after all. Fascinating.